Endurance takes practice. It takes desire and passion. Welcome to Enduring Churches podcast with Alan and Trent, pastors with a desire to help you endure.
Welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Trent Young, and I'm here with my good friend Alan Small. And we talk to you about all kinds of practical things to help you as a minister or church leader and sometimes business people about how to endure, how to last the long haul. And so today, Alan, what are we talking about?
Well, we talked about funerals last week. We put the fun back in them. And so today we're going to try to give you some ideas about wedding and all that marital bliss that we are creating as ministers.
That's right. So last time we talked to you about if pastors were asked which they would rather do, a funeral or a wedding, what was the overwhelming response, Alan?
Oh, yes, funerals. I've never had anyone say wedding.
Yeah. But hey, we get to talk about them today. And so we're going to talk through some of the practical things of how to make the wedding planning and the counseling part go smoothly and how to make the wedding itself go smoothly as well. So hang on. And then if you have suggestions or stories that you've encountered, contact us at enduringchurches.com or on Enduring Churches Facebook page too. So Alan, get us started, man.
You bet. You know, being asked to be a part of someone's wedding is actually a privilege. It's an honor when someone thinks enough of you to want you to walk with them in this. And so even though we give it a hard time, we know it's a time of joy and it's a time of celebration. You just know you're going to be really tired. And it usually comes at a time when you want to relax because so many of them are in the summertime and you're just getting out, your kids are getting out of school and the summer is heating up and you want to go on vacation and you just kind of find yourself at times tied down. But it is a wonderful privilege and an opportunity. And the first thing we want to just talk to you about is that you need to kind of set your policies right up front. And Trent, I know you and Dana are really big into this. And with your work with young adults, the first policy is what are you going to do about counseling?
Yeah, I think this is super important. And, we have interviewed Nick Howard, and he actually did Dana and I's wedding, and he did our counseling beforehand. And we talked with him and several others and realized that, man, this is an important time, and it helps people to avoid a lot of fights. So I do personally, Alan, I require, if I'm going to do the marriage ceremony, I require that they meet with us. And it's always with Dana and I both. We meet with a couple. And so if they've never been married before, then we require 6 meetings. But if they have been married before, I bump that up to 8 meetings, just so we can talk through lots and lots of issues.
I love that, Trent. I just love that you said you require more if they've been married before, because here's what everyone who's ever been married before tells me is, oh, I've already been married. I know all this stuff.
I'm like, no.
No, you really don't, or we wouldn't be doing this again. So yeah, I love that you actually require that. But yes, counseling is a requirement that I have. Now, I will allow someone else outside at times, a professional or someone else, to do that sometimes. Or when I did my daughter's, she was in South Carolina, and her pastor of her church that she attends did their premarital counseling and sent me a thing that said, hey, he sent me an email. I finished it. I love your kids and I'm excited for them. And so I let him do it. But you and I are kind of using the same resource today, and it's called the SIMBIS training, which stands for Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts. And it makes counseling flow in a really good way, doesn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely a great tool put out by Les and Leslie Parrott. I would encourage you to look that up if you do weddings at all and you do some counseling. It kind of lines it out and prints out, you know, each of the couple, they go and they do an online inventory, and then it prints it out, combines it together for you, and gives you an outline of how to talk with them and some you know, warning flags that you may need to deal with as well. It's a great resource.
Yeah, it's a wonderful tool. I used to use Love is a Decision, which had been used with us. That was a Gary Smalley book about really the choice to love. And I know one of the things that always came back is the guys would always say, man, he's hard on the guys. He never says any, well, because again, love is a choice we make. It's not just feelings. And I believe that when the Bible says husbands love your wives, that's kind of where it begins. Because, you know, if we love our wives, we become easy to love. But sometimes we can love our job or we can love other things first. And that's not where it should be. And certainly that can happen on the other side, but I don't think it's as common. And so I loved using that resource. But when I got certified as a Simbus trainer, I thought that, man, this is a whole lot better than anything else I have.
Yeah, I think it's a very handy tool. And we also, Dana and I, we have our own kind of list of topics that we throw in there in the midst because we've done this for so many years. But Mark Gungor has a video series called Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, and we throw that in sometimes, depending on the situation. But I also want you to know that this is the way that once we start meeting with a couple, the way that we handle it is we meet for an hour at a time, and then we take 30 minutes at the beginning planning their ceremony each time we meet, and then we take 30 minutes after that each time we meet on the counseling topics and the Simbus stuff. And so, Alan, how do you handle things like that?
Yeah, I've been anywhere from usually 3 to 5 meetings. It really depends upon time. A lot of mine have been where one of the people lives a lot further away. And so mm-hmm. we have to be a little bit more creative with our time. But I have gone almost up to 10 with some who just wanted extra stuff. Maybe they had extra questions or concerns or all kinds of stuff. And one of the big areas too, we always really work with, especially the younger couples on their budget stuff quite a bit to try to help them get off on a good financial start. Because if you've done talked with anyone about marriage, we know that the financial relationship and the sexual relationship, those are the areas where there's the least amount of communication. And those are the areas that typically rise up and cause the initial problems in a relationship. And so we spend a lot of time talking about those things. And, you know, it's important to talk to about the sexual relationship, no matter what their history is, because that is important as well. And so you better take some extra time to talk about it. And if you're uncomfortable talking about that, you better pass that on to someone who's comfortable talking about it.
That's for sure, because the couple needs to they need to have some guidance and need to have some, I guess, a push to talk. And we met with a couple last night. It seems like we're always meeting with a couple and dealing with the money part of it. You know, they needed to push to talk about how they're going to handle this. And there was some, you know, as we were talking about it, they're both looking at each other like, well, you know, we haven't really talked about this. We found out that it was much more stress than, and they were avoiding it. And so we had to kind of help guide them as they talked about those things.
Now, Trent, we were also going to talk about who you will marry. Now, we are people who believe in the traditional marriage, and we preach and teach a traditional marriage. But we're oftentimes asked to do some things with people who are living together, or who are unequally yoked, or in remarriage. And every minister, every pastor out there, you need to have your own policy and your own comfort level with how you're going to handle each of those situations.
Yeah, Alan, I would encourage those pastors to decide ahead of time. Don't decide as a couple comes in, because that can be really awkward. But decide, you know, will you do a marriage for a couple that's living together? I know that some pastors don't agree with this, but I do. But I make them go through the whole counseling process, and I present the gospel to them. And I also, you know, I believe that I'm trying to help them take a step closer to God and helping them to take a step closer to living the way God intended. So I do marriages for those who are living together. How about you, Alan?
Yeah, mine is I encourage them, first of all, to separate during the time of counseling or to not live in the same room and do those kinds of things. I encourage them to do that. But I've kind of changed probably a little bit. I probably am a little more willing to do it just to encourage people to get Christ first in their relationship. And it's amazing to me that how many people, when they start going through this, realize, you know what, can we just go ahead and get married? And I've had some people say, we want to get married, and we're just going to have a party later to celebrate that we got married. And I've had some people say, can we just get married this weekend? And that's fine. You know what? If that's what God's doing in their heart, then let's do that. And we can have a party later. And they realize they've saved a lot of expense, and they've also made a faith decision, which is good for them. But you know, it's awkward, but it's by and large the norm. And how are you going to deal with it? I've got friends who will not touch that at all, and that's their spiritual conviction. I'm not here to change them. I'm not here to change yours. If you disagree with us, that's okay. But you're right. My goal is to help draw people closer to Christ, and I have ostracized a couple of couples in the past for how I handled that. I could have done a better job. So,
anyway. Well, all of us, as we look back, we can all look back and say, man, I wish I would have said something differently in those times. But one of the areas, too, as we talked about being unequally yoked, if you're not familiar with that term, it's a scriptural term, means a believer and a non-believer. Will you do a marriage for those situations? And I for sure, we're going to ask each of the people that we counsel, we're going to ask them, you know, what is their relationship to Christ? Tell us your God story is what we call it. And then if there is one that is not, or one or both, we're going to tell them we're coming at this from a Christian standpoint, and we're going to talk about Jesus during the service. And so we'll talk to the one or both that are not believers and give them the opportunity to choose to believe.
And I might add that almost every relationship is unequally yoked to a degree. Because there's usually someone who takes their faith life far more seriously than the other. And so even in those situations, you can find a lot of conflict, or someone who feels a call to ministry and their future spouse does not. Again, that's kind of an unequal situation. So, you know, how much are you going to pick and choose who it is that you're going to marry? And remember, too, when you do tell them no, you do lose your ability to witness to them in a lot of ways, because they're probably going to do it anyway.
Yeah, and especially if they've already set a date, you pretty much know it's going to happen. And if they've ordered the invitations, it's going to happen. But there have been times, Alan, where I've encouraged a couple to wait, you know, if they haven't got all that stuff set up and they're in that situation where they've got some things that they need to work out. I encourage them to wait and work things out before they
do. I encouraged one a few years ago to call it off.
Mm-hmm.
I sat there, it was our last meeting, and I said, guys, I got to tell you, I'm going to do this because I made a commitment to you. But I see a lot of warning signs, and I have a lot of concerns over your relationship. And I would encourage each of you to reconsider whether or not this is what you want to do. And they went through with it, and I don't think they made it a year. And, you know, I know that people would say, well, you should have just pulled out. But you know what? I got to have a relationship and a ministry with them through that process. And I don't know. It's tough. These are tough situations, and I don't always know the right thing, but I did my best to try to help them, and I still have an open door in each of their lives because I was there for them and I was honest with them.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, if anything, that having that honesty, I think people, sometimes they hate to hear it, but they really want it. And sometimes a couple really wants somebody to say that because they're afraid to say it. They, even though they know it in their hearts, that maybe this is not right. So think through those things.
And then a remarriage, Trent. How do you deal with that one?
Well, as I talked about in our counseling, somebody's been going into, you know, they've already been married before, then we're going to do more counseling at least two more times. And we're going to talk about the issues and we're going to talk about their previous marriage too. You know, what things we're going to ask them, what things that they saw that were problems. And so I do those, but we do more counseling.
And that's how it needs to roll in those situations. And again, we're not trying to tell you that we're right. We take the stances we take. And Trent and I would each do marriage a little bit differently. We're going to communicate differently, and you may have some different thoughts in those. But that's why we say you need to draw your lines. You need to know where your lines are on all that. There are some that I probably wouldn't do, and there's some I probably wouldn't go back and do again. But
yeah, no kidding.
But you need to know where your lines are on that. And then you also need to have your expectations on vows. I know this is a silly part, and this is on the front side, but the first thing I do, I let them know before we ever get to a wedding ceremony, I'm going to encourage them to not write their own vows, because you see that on TV and it sounds all sweet and gushy, but I am a pastor and we are making a commitment before the Lord first, not one another first. And so I want vows that are truly Christ-centered and Christ-focused in that. And so I discourage people from writing their own vows. And I give them a lot of vow options, but I discourage that.
Yeah, and this is an area where Alan and I were differ a little bit. I allow people to, and you know, to do their own vows, but again, we both come at it. We want them to be Christ-centered because we believe that God established marriage, and so we're going to do everything we can to point it toward Him. And so that's kind of we have our differences, but. The biggest part is to think through that ahead of time. And as you're, you know, talking with a couple, you begin to talk through the ceremony, they're going to bring up, you know, where they would like to have the ceremony. And if that's going to be at your church or another church, there may be some specific rules that those churches have about what can and cannot happen. A lot of churches have rules about music. And so the couple needs to know that ahead of time. Or, you know, alcohol in the building or something like that. The biggest thing we can do is help a couple not be embarrassed by telling them those rules and helping them make wise decisions.
And that should be in your church's policies and procedures, what you allow and don't allow for weddings. And that should not have to be something that comes directly from you, but you should have your leadership team put together a wedding policy and procedures. And in this day and age, you really need that. To protect yourself anyway. And so I would encourage, if you don't have that, make sure that your church does establish kind of your policies and procedures for building use in that way. So we've talked about some of the things that you need to kind of know what your policies are, but what about the expectations? Now, Trent, are you a wedding planner? Is this kind of what you do and who you are?
Man, I don't know. I'm scared to take that role on. I have too many movie memories that come to mind when you say that. Dana and I, we will talk a couple through all the things that we've seen happen in weddings or that have been in weddings that we've performed, and we'll help couples make decisions. But, and so I guess to some extent we help them, but there are a lot of times a couple will bring in a professional wedding planner consultant, and that's great with me.
I'd much rather have that than not have that. But a lot of times, basically we end up becoming the wedding consultant though. We're not planning it out. We're not determining what foods or any of those kinds of things, but there's usually not, in a lot of cases, not anyone else who's in charge. It's just the couple and their families who are going to show up, and you're going to show up, and then hopefully everything kind of rolls out okay. And so you do, while you're not the planner, you do end up with this kind of forced on you role of the consultant. And so you're going to kind of help structure the whole day and what that looks like. And so you have to be kind of ready for that. You need to be familiar with what typically goes on in a wedding, you know, that about pictures that take place beforehand and, you know, mm-hmm. about traditions. Are they going to honor the traditions that the bride and groom can't see each other? Or, you know, which is not a scriptural tradition. So if they want to see each other and do their pictures beforehand, so they have more time to visit afterwards, that's okay. Even if you feel strongly the other way, you know, all those kinds of things. So, you know, you are going to end up in this kind of ex officio role as the consultant, whether you want to be or not, oftentimes.
Yeah, Alan and Dana and I always say when we're meeting with couples that this is not our wedding. And so it's not our job to impose our, you know, relive our wedding on them. Our goal, and I would say to you as a minister, church leader, is to develop the ability to ask good questions instead of giving your opinions. You ask good questions that help them to make good decisions. And that will help them so much as the role of consultant, as Alan said. If you ask questions, that'll help them to know, you know, help them to make some decisions that they enjoy and are happy with.
Well, the next part of that is, do you need to be at the rehearsal? And Trent, you added in the notes there an emphatic yes.
Yeah. Well, first of all, if you're going to rehearse and you're going to be part of the ceremony, I don't know, Alan, and you can disagree with me on this. I don't know. We can argue, but, I would say if I'm going to be part of it, I certainly want to be part of the rehearsal. And I will, you know, I'll give you in just a moment, I'll give you my plan to how to make a rehearsal quick and easy and painless. But Alan, what do you think about that? What do you think about a rehearsal?
Well, I've always been at them. But I do know some pastors who are asked to do so many funerals, so many weddings. There's a pastor joke right there. Just walked right into that one. But they're asked to do so many weddings that they actually have someone on staff who fills in for them at rehearsals and fulfill their role. And so I don't know. Seems to me that I'd rather just have get another staff person involved in helping take on some of the weddings. So I wasn't doing all of them, but, I've always been there. You know, and I think that's a big part, and I'm with you. I don't draw it out. I try to keep them pretty short as well. And you know, your guide is pretty much exactly, how I do that as well. So that's important. And then you also mentioned the reception, make an appearance. And I added in a note there, make an appearance when possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is not the reception is not about you, and you've already put in a lot of time. And so, you know, make an appearance. You know, if they're having a dinner and they want you to be there because they love you, or they wouldn't have asked you to be a part of this special time. But, you know, stop in, hug on the family and visit, and then leave. Don't feel like you have to wait on the entire thing.
They're usually going to ask you to pray anyway. So.
That's exactly
right. Make that appearance. And, you know, sometimes you're closer to people and to a family, and that's okay if you stay a little bit longer in those situations. And there are times when the reception is going to take place in the evening, or maybe it's in an atmosphere that you're not comfortable with and you're uncomfortable going. You know, I know there's still some pastors who have a big thing about dancing, and so they might not show up at one that has a foot function going on to it or whatever. And so, you know, again, but make an appearance when possible, just to let them know that you love them and that you're happy for them and you share in their joy. You know, so as you're putting a wedding together and as you're trying to go through that, Trent, I always use a guide, and I've gotten several ministers' handbooks over the years, and a minister's handbook has kind of an outline of a wedding ceremony. And I always start there as my base outline for what should take place in a wedding. How about you?
Yeah, Alan, you and I both received one while we're in seminary together. And I still have it. I've got it highlighted and marked up and all kinds of things. And so, yeah. And so, you know, we'll try to put in the notes, maybe on our webpage, some possibilities. But it's good. You know, if this is your first time to do a wedding, then for sure, you know, look through a minister's handbook. Maybe your denomination may have one that they'll give to you, the expectations in that. So,
and again, we'd remind you, be flexible. People put in a lot of different elements. They'll see something from another wedding they want to pull in or use. And there's all kinds of things. There's there is a whole lot more diversity in weddings now than when I first started out in ministry. And so you've got to be willing to kind of roll with some of the ideas that they have that will celebrate their wedding in their own unique way.
Yeah. And a lot of, it seems like anymore, everybody has their wedding, at least around here in, you know, out in the country or in a barn or somewhere. And so you kind of need to be flexible with those things. I had an older lady, Alan, this is so funny. Had an older lady in our church the other day. She had to go to her granddaughter's wedding, and it was in the middle of a hot time of year, and it was in the middle of a field, and they were all sweating, and she was like, "We got a perfectly good air conditioned church," and she couldn't have her wedding there.
Yeah. I did an outdoor wedding a few years ago where there was a thunderstorm on the horizon. We were just praying, "God, please, 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 please let the rain hold off so we don't have to move it in this tall, small little space inside." And then while we were doing the wedding ceremony, horses started running through the wedding ceremony behind me and between me and the congregation. It was a unique experience. So you're going to have some stories after a few weddings. That's for sure. Well, Trent, highlight real fast for us as we're running out of time, but talk to us a little bit about the rehearsal.
Well, if you do a rehearsal well, you can do it quickly. And one of the things I would say to you is if you can encourage the family to do dinner first, then everybody will be happier. Instead of waiting on after the rehearsal to have dinner, do dinner first, then let the wedding party slip away and practice. And not everybody has to be there. In fact, it's better if not everybody goes to the rehearsal. But make it quick. One of the ways they do that is, keep in mind, is the rehearsal is not the time to plan the ceremony. You should have already done that. It should already be done and nailed down. And the bride is, you and the bride are the ones in charge of the rehearsal. And so pray, get everybody together, pray, and then place everybody on the stage or wherever you're having the actual ceremony. Have the bride step back and make sure it looks like she wants it to look like, and then practice exiting. And you're going to exit and practice entering, and you're done. And also the last thing is tell everybody when to show up for pictures the next day.
It's pretty simple from that standpoint. So again, if you've got a good guide, like a minister's handbook or something like that, you're going to know everything that you're supposed to go through. You don't need to run through your message. You just say, here's where we're going to do the vows. You don't have to go through the whole thing. And that will take a lot of time off your plate. So I think that's a great way to look at it, Trent. So I appreciate you giving us those insights.
Yeah. Last thing too, is if you've done all the ceremony planning and somebody from the family comes in and says, well, you should do this during the rehearsal, all you have to do is nicely say, hey, that's a great possibility, but the couple has already decided that they would like it this way. And this is their wedding. So we're just going to leave it like it is and leave it and don't have to argue. Just leave it like it is.
So there you go. Weddings in a nutshell. And I know there's other circumstances or things that we could talk about in regards to weddings. So let us know what we missed today. We'd love to find those things and discuss those things at some point in time. And we thank you again for joining us on the Enduring Churches podcast. And we're here to help you. If we can come alongside and help you with a church consultation, or we can help coach you in some way, we would love to come alongside you and your church to help you endure. So thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you back next week.
We appreciate your time and the fact that you have chosen to spend time with us. Make sure to share your email with us so we can keep you informed about future episodes.